Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perhaps there's not a more famous reference of Scripture in all the Bible. Just about any soccer game, football game, basketball game, baseball game, you'll see a sign holding up, John 3:16. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world? It's pretty important. One writer said, who shall speak or write worthy of such a verse? John chapter 3 and verse 16. I want us to just try this morning to look at the text of this scripture. You're like, well, I mean, there's probably been hundreds of thousands of messages preached on John 3:16. I'm very much aware of that. I wanted you to see this morning from a number of levels. One, that God so loved the world. Every person that was up here has some story behind that. Some, that's their native tongue. Others learned it as a secondary language to minister amongst the people. Variety of reasons here, but it was neat, I think, just for you to see this whole process. And pretty neat that those are all our people coming for these various different languages. 12 different languages spoken in one way or the other. Let's look at this verse of Scripture. And notice this. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to really enjoy the resurrection. That's what it's all about. We're going to see, first off, today from this verse of Scripture, we see the deity. It says, for God. For God. For God gave his only begotten Son. It's kind of amazing to us when we think about God. God robed in flesh, took upon him the form of a servant, as Philippians tells us, was made in the likeness of man. He walked this earth as you and I, and he did all of that so that he could willingly offer himself as the perfect sacrifice to pay for you and I's sins. And he knew that he would rise again the third day and Jesus Christ would ascend to the Father, but he's got that body. If you'll look with me at the book of John, just a couple of chapters over to John chapter number 1. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? This verse, along with John chapter 1, proclaims his deity. But secondly, we see a demonstration. What did he show? The Bible says, for God so loved that he gave. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word commendeth means to prove or to establish or to show. It's to demonstrate his love. God demonstrated his love for the world by giving his only begotten Son. You know, love that is not willing to demonstrate itself is a pretty cheap love, isn't it? No one in this room would take a human love that was proclaimed and yet never demonstrated. God so loved that he gave. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What an amazing thing that is. We're so familiar with this verse that sometimes we lose the significance that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Have you accepted His love this morning? Now we see deity, we see a demonstration, we see a destination. To whom was it offered? Notice what He says, for God so loved the world. The world. For God so loved Brazil. For God so loved Africa. How many of you guys knew that Don Clark could speak Swahili? All right, some of you did. Good. For God so loved Spanish-speaking countries. For God so loved Papua New Guinea. For God so loved French-speaking countries. For God so loved the deaf. For God so loved the world. But He says something else in here, that whosoever. Whosoever. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad that God loves everyone? Aren't you glad that He's not willing that any should perish, but that He continues to reach out to people to see them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I want you to do something for me this morning. How many of you, the first time you heard the gospel, rejected the gospel? Raise your hand really high. You rejected the gospel the first time that you heard it. Raise it really high. But look around you. Look around you. Aren't you grateful that God gave second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, sixth chances? I know some of your testimonies. Some of you rejected the gospel hundreds of times before you accepted it. For God so loved the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, and He is the propitiation, that is the appeasing. He's the appeasing of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Every person in this room, and every person that's ever been born and ever will be born, is a part of whosoever. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him. How do you call on the Lord? Simply through talking to Him. We call that prayer. You guys knew that. You are a part of the world. Everyone in this room is. But the question really is, are you part of the whosoever? Because that's a choice you have to make. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, number four, there's a declaration. What must we do? He says that whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. There's a central part of the resurrection why it's important. Thou shalt be saved. John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, men, but of God. As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's whoever believes in Him. Have you ever repented of your sins? Believe that Jesus died for them and that He rose again? He's saying this morning, come. But number five, there's a decision made here. What will God do if you believe? Notice what He says here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Like, Pastor, this is not really a resurrection passage of Scripture. Right there it is. Because you don't have everlasting life without the resurrection. Without this, there is no eternal life. Jesus defeated death. John chapter 10, verse 27 and following says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them to Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." God always keeps His word. He didn't give you temporary life, but He gave you eternal or everlasting life. Again, the question is, will you trust Him today? We see, number six here, a desire. And that's where we get to verse 17. Notice what it says here, since we're not as familiar with that. "But God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." See, people want to say, I can't believe in a God who would send anyone to a Christless eternity in hell. Can I tell you, that's not God's desire. That's not what He wanted. Matter of fact, He didn't want that so bad that He sent Jesus Christ to this earth to live a perfect, sinless life for 33 plus years in order to die on a cross for you and I, for Him to be risen again the third day so that you didn't have to go there. That's His desire. But again, the question is, will you come to Him? Will you come to Him? We see the reference all the time. Matter of fact, in most cases, we could quote it. Now, most of us couldn't quote it the way some of these quoted it, right? Pastor Caleb was writing it out. I mean, just as fast as he could go. And I'm like, if you can write it that fast, you don't need to look at a paper, right? You say, well, I think I'll wait. Can I tell you, any day is a good day to repent and trust Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "For He saith, I've heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." My friends, you may walk out of here today and say, you know, let me think about it. Just give me a few more days. The fact is, you don't know that you have a few more days. See, John chapter 3 and verse 16 encapsulate everything that Easter is really about. It's about a sinless God coming and dying for a sinful man to provide for us eternal life. D.L. Moody, famous preacher from years gone by, had the words, "God is love," written above his pulpit. When he first began preaching, however, his zeal for God and his hatred for sin kept him from feeling the full force of those words. Then he would preach that God was angry with the wicked and stood between them, with a drawn sword, ready to cut down sinners if they did not repent. And in a measure, that is true. That is, God is a God of judgment. But God also loves the sinner and hates the sin. Unless we depart from sin, we shall perish with it. But God would have His love come first always. A young Englishman taught Moody to preach the love of God. When Moody first visited England, he met Harry Morehouse. The people called him the boy preacher. One day, Morehouse told Moody that he would like to go with him to Chicago and preach in his church. Moody said he looked at the beardless young fellow. Being beardless in those days was not good. And decided he was too young to preach. So he did not let him know what boat he sailed on. But not long after, he received a letter stating that Morehouse had arrived in the United States and he would come out to Chicago and preach for him if he wished. Moody wrote him a very cold answer, telling him that if he came west, to call on him. A few days, he received another letter telling him that Morehouse would be arriving in Chicago on Thursday. Moody didn't know what to do. He had to be in another city over Friday and Saturday, but finally, after thinking it over, seeing no way out of the difficulty, he told his church officers that you probably should invite this young man to preach for the 2 wet days I'm away. They too are afraid that the young stranger might spoil the interest, but Moody said, well, try him. Rennie returned. About the first question he asked his wife was, how's the young preacher got on? His wife said, he has preached both nights from John 3:16. I think you'll like him, she said. He preaches a bit differently from the way you do. How is that? Moody asked. He tells the people that God loves them, replied his wife. Moody said, he is wrong. But I will ask him to speak again tonight so I can hear him myself. I think you will agree with him after you hear him, Mrs. Moody said. Moody went down to the church, noticed everybody had Bibles. My friends, began Morehouse, if you will turn to the 3rd chapter of John, the 16th verse, you will find my text. He preached 7 sermons from 1 text of Scripture. The last night, Morehouse went to the pulpit. Every eye was upon him, wondering what text he would preach from. He began, friends, I've been hunting all day for a new text, but I cannot find one so good as the old one. So we will go back to the 3rd chapter of John, verse 16. Moody said he could never forget the closing words of that night's sermon. My friends, for a whole week I have been trying to tell you how much God loves you, but I cannot do it with this poor, stammering tongue. If I could borrow Jacob's ladder, climb up to heaven and ask Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, to tell me how much God loves sinners, all he could say would be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Moody was convinced and changed his manner of preaching. Now he preached that God was behind the sinner with love instead of a sword, that in rejecting God, the sinner was running away from a God of love. For God so loved the world. Aren't you grateful for that? A powerful verse. A reference that many in the world could recognize, but I'm not sure they would know. Can I give you one suggestion for the week, for your family time, and we adults can do it too. Ask people in a restaurant that you're in, or in the post office, or in the checkout lane, if they've ever heard of the reference John 3 in verse 16. And if they have, do they know what it says? Most of them probably don't, and it'd be a great chance for you to tell them. Because everything they need to know to come to know Christ as their Savior is penned in these few words. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for this word. It's simple and yet incredibly profound. It's easy to read. It's difficult to understand. It's so incredibly simple that a child can say it, and yet it's so all-encompassing that the world is still trying to wrap its hands around it. Thank you that all over the world this morning, mission dollars from this very ministry and others like it are helping people tell the good news that you love the world. What a privilege it is to be a part of that together. Help us, Lord, to proclaim a risen Savior Help now your Spirit to work in hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I just ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking you if you know about Him. I'm not asking you if you have a head knowledge. I want to know, do you actually know Him as your Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Do you know that He came to this world to die for you? Friend, today, if you don't know that, can I tell you, there is no better day than today to get that settled. For some of you, you just need to again thank Him that He's a God of love and that He loved you and He loved me. If God's speaking, in just a moment, we're going to stand. Our instruments are going to play. To my left will be one of our deacons. And to my right will be one of our pastors. And they would love to get someone to just take the Word of God and show you, answer some questions from the Word of God. Don't walk out of here saying, boy, I wished I'd ask a question. We would love to answer those for you. We're not forcing you to be a part of this church. We want you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a great, great, great Easter that would be. Would you stand quietly to your feet? No one looking around. Our men are coming. They're going to begin to play. If God's spoken to your heart, would you come? He gave His only begotten Son. He died for you and He died for me. And He'd love to see you come to know Him today as Savior. Would you respond? When's the last time you thanked Him for His love? Thanked Him that He gave you more chances to come to know Him as Savior. Pastor Bruce is going to lead us in that chorus. Would you please?